Alma Baron interviewing Monona Nafsinger, and I'd like to introduce her to you. Monona, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood, where you were born and raised?
I was born in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, and I lived there till I was 18.
And then what happened? You went away to school?
No, my family originally came from Madison. My great-grandparents came from Madison. And my father had a job offered him here, so we moved back.
In what year was this, do you recall?
We came back in 1925.
So you have been here ever since, except for the times you went out with your husband.
We were at the University of Minnesota, of course.
Yeah. Several years, it says. Tell me, how did you meet Ralph?
Let me think how I want to say that. I was not a student of his, but he had graduated from journalism and then gone out and worked on newspapers for 7 years. And then he wanted to go into the Foreign Service. So he took the exams and passed to both oral and written. And he had taken Boy's Life as a magazine when he was a boy. I read an article in there he enjoyed about the journalist. So he wrote to the man and asked him, where would you go if you went to study journalism? And the man wrote back, University of Wisconsin School of Journalism. So my husband came back and took work towards a master's, and he was also an assistant professor in the J School for a while. And then he got so interested in teaching, and that's one story I won't tell about because it's not nice at all. He was teaching part-time, doing graduate work. And then he decided that he met me, and he decided it'd be better to teach than to go into Foreign Service. And so he said he changed his mind.
How'd you meet? Now tell me why you went into journalism.
Well, I lived in Canada, and my mother was musical. She saw that I started music early, and I received a degree from the Toronto Conservatory of Music in piano. And I had to do some teaching of piano while I was teaching it. And they sent their people throughout Canada to accredited places and test them. And that's how I got into it. And then I decided that, I'll say this to you, but I won't say it to anyone else. I received the highest degree in Canada in my junior year.
Oh, how wonderful.
And I also played cello. But I decided I wasn't good enough for concert work, and I didn't want to teach. So when I came back to Madison, I went up to the School of Music, and I found out that I had everything that they gave for a degree, technically, and all I'd be doing is taking lessons. So my mother and father were both journalists, and very active at that time. And so I thought, I think I'll go into journalism. So that's how you did. Landed in, and of course it's a story about my dad, Dr. Blyer, who was the originator of the school here.
Oh.
My dad graduated in the first course of commerce here, and then my mother had 1 year here, and after Dad graduated, he had two offers, one to teach him English at the university in Athens, Greece.
Oh my.
And the other to go with this publishing firm in Canada. And they thought the Canadian thing looked a lot better. So that's how they got married. I'll digress, I'm gonna stop now.
No, that's fine. But how did you actually meet Ralph? He didn't teach you. He was not a teacher.
Ken Olson, who was on the staff in journalism, was a classmate of my husband. And he told me the story. Every Monday morning, the newspapers would call the department heads.
Somebody's at the door, I think. Just let me stop.
The newspapers used to call the department heads. Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Now, the newspapers used to call the department heads every Monday morning to get assignments, to give them assignments. And so I used to be called, of course, because I was a society editor. And Ken Olson said one time, he and Ralph were sitting together in a group, and he said, Ralph, have you ever met that Manona Hamilton on the paper? And Ralph said, no, I never have. I've talked to her every Monday morning to give her assignment. And Ken said, well, you ought to meet her. So Ralph said, oh, maybe I will. And he thought, I guess I'll call her. So he called me and asked for a date that weekend.
And that's how it started.
That's how it started.
Isn't that lovely? Yeah. That's a wonderful story.
It was a wonderful story.
So he was still here teaching.
Oh,
and
yes.
Did you finish and get your degree in journalism?
Yes. I finished in 1928. And I had helped Mary Hopkins, who was society editor on the Cap Times, as part of my work in journalism. And when I graduated, she asked me if I would come as her assistant. So I said yes. And then she went to Milwaukee, and I took her job. And I was there for, I guess, 2 years. And all they gave me, except society, but obits and weather.
Oh, dear.
And Ken also called me one day. He said, do you want to change jobs? I said, well, I don't intend to go on like this all my life. So he said, well, there's a very good job opened up at Wisconsin Power and Light. And he said, I think you ought to go over and be interviewed. So I went over that afternoon. Mr. Vaughn, who was head of information, interviewed me till he knew absolutely everything about me. And then when I got up to leave, he hadn't said anything. I thought, flood that too. And I went to the door, and he said, Miss Hamilton, you can start anytime you want. And so I went over to the Cap Times right away to Mr. Eddy. And I said, I won't be here in 2 weeks. And I also, during the time I was married, did a column for the Milwaukee Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
I always kept up with my journalism.
Oh, that was
all up until just about 3 years ago. And
That's wonderful.
Well, it was,
sure.
I liked it. I loved it, in fact. And, of course, Ralph and I had so many interesting trips. And,
well, I want to hear about them.
Well, I don't know. Where did we go first? The first trip we took, he was asked by a New York concern to take a group of students to Europe. And I had never been to Europe, never thought I'd get there either. And Ralph said, yes, he would. That was 1953. And so we took the student. This was quite an experience.
Oh, I'll bet.
We were responsible for them, but we couldn't tell them what to do.
How many were there?
Pardon? There were, I think there were 12.
Oh, my word.
It was just that way. And some of them had were taking the trip. It was a steady trip.
Yeah.
And they made plans for journalists and political people in these various countries. And they had everything set up. And some of these students had no idea, pay much attention. They wanted to go on a trip.
Sure.
And it was a real problem. And I was very worried in Paris, because here we were in a hotel. I didn't know what they did after they went to the rooms. And yet I was responsible. My husband and I were. It was quite. And they asked him to go to South America the next year, but he said, no, I can't.
I can understand.
And then we, let's see, what was the next trip? I guess that was to, he went over several times that I did
you
not
didn't
always,
go.
I had two sons then.
When were your kids born? No.
Pardon?
When were your children born?
Oh, goodness. I can't think of the dates.
No, but in the early years of your marriage.
Yeah, well, Jim, when we moved to Madison, 25, Jim was 9 and Ralph was 12. I can do the math right.
Yeah, good. So they were born away from Madison.
In Minneapolis, yes.
While you were there.
While we were there.
And when you came back here for the professorship, they were young men, 9 and 12.
Well, can I let you in on a secret that you won't ever tell?
What is it?
I mean, it's about the journalism school. Dr. Bryan had started this journalism school, and Wisconsin and Missouri were always in a competition as to which was the earliest, and that went on for years. And Dr. Blyer had been my father's English teacher, and so when Dr. Blyer went to class one day, he asked him for volunteers to start a course he was thinking of doing. There'd be no credit. And my dad was one of the volunteers, which is in the early days, of course. But there's a little side story that I don't tell. But he was a very good journalist. Hyde was a very fine man, but he had majored in architecture. He didn't know much journalism, and it just went right down. They were even thinking of just continuing it. And that's when they contacted Ralph in Minnesota. And it was Scott Cutler, I heard later, in a meeting one day. They were desperate. He said, if you get Ralph and have to go back here, you'll get your journalism school again.
Right,
so that's what they did. They asked me. We didn't like to leave Minnesota. There were a lot of advantages there.
Sure.
But we were never sorry we came.
No.
But that's something I don't tell because it's not fair. That's all.
But that was wonderful. When'd you come back here? I have it someplace in the notes when you came back to
25. 25. 25.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. Oh, I think back myself in I was in that zone. That was
40.
Now, isn't that crazy?
A minute. It's in 35. In 35, you came back.
You came back.
Uh-huh. And Scott Cutlib was here.
Yes, and he was a tremendous help to this school. He was public relations, and he became internationally known.
Yes, I know he did.
Very, very,
very well known. Yeah. Well, the man that Ralph succeeded up here was Kenneth Olson. Do you remember him?
Well, he was the one that was Ralph's colleague and told Ralph to me, Ralph, Kenneth didn't succeed.
No, he didn't succeed. Was he in front of Ralph? Here's Olson's here, and here's Nafzinger there.
Yeah, see, Ken Olson. Was probably teaching before we came back.
That's what they have
in that. Funny how you don't remember things so.
Oh, well, of course, it's been so many years. How could you remember it? But I do see that he was here before Ralph was back here.
Well, you see, he was the one.
He's listed here, Kenneth Olson, before Ralph.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because
there are a lot of people who are listed here.
Pardon?
There are a lot of people listed here who were lecturers, like Bruce McCoy.
Yes.
Do you remember him?
Oh, yes.
And George Bird. Bird?
No, he was one of the very early ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never knew him.
Frank Thayer.
Oh, my, and you knew Virginia, of course.
Yeah.
And in fact, Frank Thayer was brought here when Ralph went to Minnesota, not to take his place because his field was law.
Yeah.
And he never got a fair shake on that.
No, he never did get it. He was a lecturer and assistant professor for quite a few years before he became a professor.
Right there.
Yeah. So?
I think you wrote the first book on Law of the Press. Yes, I think you did. Mm-hmm. He was a fine man. And of course, Virginia, I knew so very well.
Yeah.
So very well.
Well, tell me about your association with the women. Did you join the University League?
Oh, was I in the University League?
For years?
I've been in there for 50 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm still a member.
Yeah.
I was on the board a couple of times. And I enjoyed doing things.
Sure.
And they let me do them.
And the University League did excellent things for the university and for the community.
You know, I was on the first committee for the Madison Friends of International Students. When I came back, Lois Hartshorn asked me, she said, I think I'm going to start something. And she said, would you be on my committee? I said, oh, yes.
Sure.
So I did. And we took charge of everything that they did for quite a while. And then the university more or less took it over.
Well, it was marvelous because it was the best thing in the world for the students. They had nothing else.
Of course it was. It was, and she did a good job. I remember I went to one meeting one time and they were telling what the league did and the league had done this. And I stood up and I said, I want you to know that Lois Hartshorn was the one that did this, not the University League for a while. I was so provoked, I thought that would get down in the news.
That's right. She should get it. She should get her due. You were right.
Yes, but oh, there's so many angles to that, so many things.
Tell me a little bit about the other trips that you took with Ralph.
Well, we lived in Berlin, you know.
No, I don't know. Tell
we
me.
We lived there for, I guess, about 4 or 5 months. Ralph was asked to go over there to start a journalism training center. And we were very lucky there because Ralph has had students from Berlin and from Germany, and they wanted us to meet their families. So they had written. We got into some of the poorest homes I've ever seen. And then, because the vice president of India was going to, was on the board to start this new thing, we got out of the most lush places. I never had been in such places. And I thought, wasn't that a wonderful way to see Germany that way? Because and a student of Ralph's was in charge of the Associated Press there, and very active. And she belonged to a committee that Mrs. Bowles, who was wife of the ambassador, belonged to. And they'd go out to visit these places where the poorer people could bring their children to be helped medically. That was one of the saddest things I ever saw. And of course, at that time, they were trying so hard for family planning.
Sure.
And they had billboards. It didn't do a bit of good, of course.
No, of course not.
Because of their religion. But it was a fascinating experience. So many things happened over there. I remember one weekend particularly, Ralph went off with a group of students and they were going out of town for a couple of days. I didn't know a soul there. I was staying in this small apartment, scared.
Of course.
Just scared. I thought, who will I call if I need to take help?
Did you speak German?
No. I know, but that's another story. She was during the war that I lived in Canada, so there was no German at all. And so before I went to two assignments off to Germany, I took an evening course in extension on the campus so that I could understand a little bit. And I could say a few words, and the only time we ever had anything but Wiener Schnitzel was when I had to shop. I could say Wiener Schnitzel and sort. And Ralph
said, you had a lot of Wiener Schnitzel.
Yes, we did. And Ralph said, you were at the butcher today.
Yes,
I had to shop every day.
Oh, how funny. That's funny.
I had a wonderful...
wonderful experience.
Just wonderful.
Isn't that
I've been
fun?
So fortunate.
This was after the Second World War.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Oh, yes. And they were friendly to you?
I don't know. I didn't notice they weren't. I guess I took for granted they were...
Well, you were invited there, so it seemed to me they'd be friendly to you.
Yes.
Did he?
And the man that was going to head up, who was on the board, we met his family, of course, and his son got engaged while we were there, and then was married while we were there. And we were invited to all of those things. So we got, you know, the white horse and everything else.
Isn't that wonderful?
It was really, it was just a
marvelous
education, yes. But I think my mother had a lot to do with the fact I was interested, because she was in, oh, if you all knew what she had done.
What'd she do?
She was a journalist, of course. She had departments in two magazines. And then she also, this is Canada, she also wrote children's stories. And I have cuttings that were printed of her children's stories.
Oh, how wonderful.
And I don't know, I think Ralph and Jim will want them, but I don't know.
I think probably so.
But they're, I've often thought something should be done, because the approach to children was so different in those days than it developed, you know.
That's right.
It's, oh, life is good.
Oh, you're right, life it is good. When you think about it and all the wonderful experiences.
I'm so grateful. We went through hard times. My family is in good circumstances, so I lived in Winnipeg. And then, and I'm giving you my life history, but
I'm
you're not taking
sure.
it down. Then the wheat crop in Western Canada failed for 3 years.
Oh my.
My father had two magazines. There was no advertising when there was a wheat crop failure.
Oh.
And that's why we moved back to Madison.
Sure.
And then he got started there with the B.B. Clark, here with the B.B. Clark Publishing Company. And then we had the big depression here. So I've gone through two depressions. Nobody can tell me anything.
No, no.
But my mother never, never gave up. I can remember her saying, I don't care what happens, my sister and I, she said, you're both going to the university. And we did.
And you
I
did.
I don't know how she did it, but she did. My father, too. I mean, he was just barely keeping us going.
Yeah.
And my mother did have a slight income of her own. But how she did it, I don't know. She,
well, she was determined that well, you two was, girls were going to get it.
For instance, I'll ramble on for hours.
I want you to. It's interesting.
I don't talk this way as a rule to people.
No. Well, most people.
But I've always liked you, Elma, from the time I first met you.
Oh, thank you. I've always admired you.
I just like you so much. And
I feel the same way. I've admired everything you've done.
Anyway, my mother did a great deal of volunteer work in Winnipeg, so much. And at that time, did I tell you about Wallace Reed?
No.
Do you remember that name?
Wallace Reed?
He was an actor that all the girls had a crush on.
Ah.
And he became a dope and died. And they lived in California. And his wife took it upon herself to take a tour through Canada and the United States to tell about dope addiction and try to discourage it. And my mother was on the committee that was sent to the train to meet her and take care of her during her stay in Winnipeg. And she did, mother did so much. Everything. I admire my mother, just no end. And, you know, I remember one thing she did. We always had household help until a crash came. And we had a cleaning woman that was very good. They lived on what they called the north end of Winnipeg, which was a poor section. She had nothing, just nothing. And I remember Mother coming to me one day, and she said, you know what I want you to do? She said, I want you to go through your choice, and I want you to pick out the very best things you have, not the things you don't like. I want you to pack them up, and we're going to take them out to Carole's family.
Oh, how wonderful.
And so, and we had to take a streetcar. We didn't have a car. And so it was a long ride, but I remember packing out a suitcase and thinking, this is a funny thing to do to give away all my good toys.
Yeah.
But we were out there and left the suitcase there for those children. That was one of the greatest lessons I ever learned in my life.
What a marvelous thing. It was a marvelous thing. The best thing, but not the worst.
And she did so much with the people coming over from the old country, women that didn't know anybody. They had no training except as domestics.
Sure.
That's all. And my mother did a great deal with them in helping them get started. And I can remember, boy, I'm telling you everything. And I can remember some days she'd say, Manola, we had a house with 3 floors. And she kind of me every now and then, I want you to stay in your room all day today. And I thought, you don't know what. But I know why you want me to say it. You haven't said so, but I know. Because one of these women needed help. Maybe she was pregnant. Maybe there was something else. Would come to see my mother, and my mother would help her. She didn't want to embarrass that woman or embarrass me. So I stayed in my room, and I thought, I never told her I knew. But I knew.
You knew. Wasn't that wonderful of her? Wasn't that marvelous?
Well, she did so much of that. When she, my mother was an Episcopalian. My father was a Congregationalist. When they got married, my father said, I can't join the Episcopal Church, it's too formal. And my mother said, then I will join the Congregational Church.
Oh, that was lovely.
I want my family to go to the same church. And it was not easy for her, but she did. And I think she started out with a class there of about 6 people from this group that would come over and had no place to go. And they gave her a room in a church. And she had it furnished. She got a piano in there. She got a sewing machine in there, and they could come anytime they wanted to do that. And she taught a class in Shakespeare.
Oh.
She had been principal of high school when she was married. And they'd come in there, you know, any day they didn't know what to do, they'd come in there, always something for them to do. They had to build another room on a church. It became so popular. When we left there, there were 300 members of that class.
Oh, now, it's amazing.
How she did it, I don't know.
Well,
she'd always been, well, her family was. My grandfather was a great public speaker, her father. And in fact, he was running for a state office, caught pneumonia. Died in his 50s. They didn't
know anything for them.
Well, I gotta stop. I just go on.
No, that's just great.
You won't get the anything.
These are little things I want to hear because they're so interesting. They are. Okay.
Now, I don't know what to do about this second way, either immediately or.
It says.
I know, I read it twice.
How about Ralph and his work in the department?
Oh.
He started a couple centers, didn't he?
Yes, he started the PhD, and he started in Minnesota, too.
Yeah.
And then came down here.
But at the university here.
His main field was international journalism, and he was one of the very first that ever did that. And I got so provoked with him because we went to, we lived in Washington, D.C. for a year. He'd gone there to write a book. And when he got there, it was just things were brewing.
Yeah.
And he was called into what they called Colonel Donovan's committee, which was, I think, an investigative committee of some kind. Yes.
Did he ask you to do it?
Pardon?
Did he ask you to critique him?
No, I didn't teach him, no.
No, critique. Oh. Critique his work.
I did edit his master's thesis. That's one thing I did. But he was so much more intelligent than I was.
You're a pretty intelligent girl yourself.
No, I don't see.
He left his mark, there's no doubt. He left a big mark at the university.
Oh, I tell you, if people just knew, I have a couple of other stories I could tell you that are unbelievable.
Tell me.
This is, I'm afraid to. Because they cast a slur on somebody and I don't like.
Oh, well, can you leave the name out?
Well, this man was in speech and Ralph was the one that requested a journalism building. When he came back here, there'd never been a request. We met in South Hall.
Oh.
And there'd never been a request for a new building. And so Ralph put in right away, and Fred Harrington was president there, and he helped Ralph a lot to get the building. But there were people that thought this other man should have, it should be named for him. But the Viles Fund was paid for it. So naturally it was Viles Hall. And but I always thought that was, and I hear this other man was responsible for the building. I thought, you don't know.
No, he wasn't responsible.
Not a bit.
Well, thank
you. He may have worked on a treaty, I don't know.
But it's good they didn't name it for him. They should not have.
No, but I know Ralph said it would go down in the drain, and then you'd go up and see Harrington, and they worked on something else going on. They finally got it.
Good. There's a lot of politics at the university. Oh, you know
as well as
anybody. Tooth and nail. They've slit each other's throats. It's unbelievable.
It must be almost worse, though.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I think it is worse.
I think it is, too.
Because there are so many factions hunting for a small pot of money.
And there's so many trying to get someplace.
Yeah.
I never had that feeling before.
No, but it's rampant now.
It is now, I know.
Absolutely.
You know, I see that living in a retirement home is a psychology course.
Oh,
isn't it?
That's wonderful. That's true.
Try to keep quiet.
Keep your mouth shut, all.
Well, look how I kept my mouth shut with you.
For a long time. Well, but this is, this is just for the archive, so. Mm-hmm. I want to know what you felt was the high spot of your work with Ralph at the university. What was the most exciting part that you can think of?
Well, he was not traveling, but while he was here. I just think because I was so involved with students, that was the high spot. We had always had students in our home.
Oh, how lovely.
And he would have his graduate students at dinner and so on. I never thought anything about that.
And you did it all the time.
And I had no help with this.
It's wonderful.
But I enjoyed it.
Of course. And, of course, the interchange between the students.
It was wonderful.
And you learned so much about it.
I learned so much. I can remember a group of students. Where did they come from? foreign country. But they didn't like Jell-O.
Oh.
They wouldn't eat Jell-O. So I learned that. But really, Elle, I'm so grateful for the kind of life I had.
Well, thank goodness you lived it to the hilt.
I have had wonderful parents. A husband that could not be replaced. And my sons couldn't. They're too good.
That's wonderful.
They are just very, very special.
When you were away just now, did they come and get you and bring you home?
Well, the first time I haven't traveled alone. But Jim came and got me, took me back. Ralph came and brought me back and stayed for a week.
Isn't that wonderful?
I know I'm not the most pleasant person.
Oh, you're one of the most pleasant people I know.
Do you want to see a couple of my ancestors? That's my great... And I was so grateful that my mother let me have those. And the way she got them, she was from Troy, New York, originally. And she had visited some of her family in Connecticut, I think it was. No, it was in Massachusetts. And they told her that she was the only relative that ever visited them, so they gave her these pictures.
Oh, how wonderful.
It was just one. Yeah. You know, one of her relatives was among the founders of Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, my.
And there's a statue of this man done by St. Gaudens in the center of the town. And his name was Chaffin.
Yeah.
Deacon Chaffin.
Very well known artist, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have seen it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, anyway.
So you have a marvelous background yourself.
Well, I don't know. I just was very fortunate.
Yeah.
And my great aunts, I told you about them.
No.
Listen, you're going crazy.
Tell me about the
Well, my mother's family originally came from Ireland, and they settled in Monticello. Why, I don't know. And then my great-grandmother thought that the conditions in Madison were much better educationally, and they had been very well educated in Ireland. So they moved to Madison, and they had a home here on Lake Monona.
Oh my, oh my.
And these two sisters, Charlotte and Sue, finally took over a private school that belonged to Mrs. Sherwood, a prep school for the university. It took that school over, and they ran it for quite a number of years.
Uh-huh.
And very successful. A lot of early Madison realized they were good teachers and went to that school. And when they finally decided they didn't want to do it anymore, and the university had been trying so hard to get that school, and so the university took it over. That was the start of Wisconsin High School.
Oh my God. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that something
it
else?
It is amazing.
Things that have crisscrossed.
Networking from one to another is unbelievable. It really is. Now, Ralph was not a Madison
name. No, he was born in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
His father graduated from Heidelberg University in chemistry, and he had slips from Helmholtz and Bunsen that his father had had, and he had them, and I gave them to young Ralph because he was a scientist in our family. But then his father went to the University of Berlin also. It was the most interesting family over there.
Oh, yes.
There were five boys and two girls, and they all went different ways, which is fascinating. I mean, you see someone into business, someone into law, someone into medicine. It was a very interesting thing.
That is fascinating.
It is.
Is Ralph the only one that went into journalism?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was because of this, right into this man.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's very interesting how life lays out opportunities.
And you know something? We resent someone. And later on, we find out that was the best thing that happened.
That's right. Isn't it amazing?
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, in hindsight.
Oh, I feel awful that I talk so much.
Oh, no, please
I
don't.
Do.
I've enjoyed every single minute of it. It's wonderful.
No, I shouldn't have talked.
I
shouldn't have talked about me.
Where else did you go?
What?
When you went abroad, when Ralph was invited abroad to teach, where else did you go besides Germany and India?
We were in Vienna.
Oh, did you enjoy that?
Oh. When he came home, and he said, I need to go to get some information. And he said, I can go either to Paris or Vienna. Now think it over. I said, I don't have to think it over. I want to go to Vienna.
Yes.
So we had a wonderful experience.
How long were you there?
I think we were there about 3 months.
Oh, that's lovely.
And the music there, it was just...
Did you go to the opera? Of
course. Oh, we loved it. This opera thing was so funny because we got our opera tickets at a lottery around the corner from where we lived.
Oh, my.
And that was the only place I could get them. And I can remember Ralph some morning saying, you better go and get some tickets to the opera this week. So I'd go with the lottery.
What'd you do? Stand in line and they call your number or what?
I can't even remember. No, I don't think I had to stand in line. I can't remember.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. But we both love the opera.
Well, the season,
still do. I miss it so much.
Oh, it's so glorious. Glorious.
Yes, I just... And you know, when we were in Berlin, we had met this... See, one thing we just were like, had met this couple at a community church in Vienna. And so we... and he sang in the opera in East Berlin, but they lived in West Berlin. And so they were very nice to us. And they used to take me back and forth whenever I wanted to go.
Oh,
and
that was wonderful.
Oh, it was. And it took Ralph and me to an opera there one time. Very different opera in West Berlin than it was. I mean, in East Berlin.
Yeah.
And we sat in a box that the week before Khrushchev and his gang had sat.
Oh, my.
As close as I got to him.
Well, I'm glad you missed him.
I am, too. But it was such different operas. I didn't enjoy it. Really.
Was it politically motivated?
Well, it was heavy.
Yeah, in East.
And it just didn't appeal to me for some reason. But I'm glad I had the chance.
Well, of course.
People. And you know, one time when I went over with this woman, she took me to an antique shop there. I bought those candlesticks.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Well, you must have known Margaret Russell.
I heard the name.
They're
exquisite.
No, she told me that they were Dresden, and she had never seen them combined with brass before. So
one of the kind I'm
in a monastery in Greece one time.
Oh.
And the nuns there did that sort of work.
Oh, how wonderful.
And brought that back to me.
How lovely. It's beautiful.
Well, I've got too many knickknacks around, I don't care.
I don't see why you should care.
No, I don't care.
Well, you feel at home with them.
I do.
They're part of your
part
life.
Part of my life. So I think people criticize me.
That's right. It's not any of their business, and I don't see anything
really,
to criticize.
Elma, I'm sorry, I talk so much.
Oh no, this is background that we wanted from you, and it's just really
but
great.
It's the eye thing, and I don't like eyes.
But tell me about these people, William Blyer and Grant Hyde. Both of whom served as chairman before Nofsinger was named director.
Well, I told you about how Blyer started it. And his wife, she was from Rhode Island, and she was a very proper Eastern woman. Everybody was afraid of her, and I liked her. And I can remember one time at the College Club, you know, the Eastern College Club, and they had these speakers at New Lunches, and she was going to be the speaker. And Miss Perkins, who was the hostess there, in charge of program, she asked me if I would introduce Mrs. Blyer. I nearly died, but I couldn't say no.
No.
And I was afraid of what I'd say because it might hurt well. I remember that so vividly, but we got along.
You got along fine, I'm sure.
I don't know what to say, but that was a wonderful school of journalism that were recognized, and they had very strong ties with the newspaper people, and that is very necessary.
Yes, yes.
Very necessary.
The newspaper gives scholarships to outstanding students at the School of Journalism.
No, the newspaper, what happened there? Here I am going off.
No, go on.
But
tell
it's me. Very interesting. When Ralph retired, they always give to retirees maybe a trip him and his wife, or her and her husband. And they came to Ralph and they said, "Now, what would you like?" He said, "I don't want anything." He said, "The journalism building is going up. I'd like something for them, for that building. We don't want anything ourselves." And they couldn't believe it. But what they did, they started this fund to bring journalists for recognition every year, and started a Ralph O. Nofsinger award in that connection. We had nothing to do with it except
to honor him.
Yes. We didn't take a trip, but that was all right. And you know, I've had a funny experience. It's a very nice room, and they have lectures and classes sometimes. And one of the directors came to me one time, and I knew him quite well. He said, "Could we use some of that money in that fund to refinish the table? The students have been harder." I said, "No, you can't."
No.
I said, That's not what the fund was for. I said, "You can't do it." And then another director came and wanted to bring a certain man to give a lecture there. I said, "I'm sorry."
You were right.
Yeah, I was.
Of course you were.
Of course. And then I thought, I better do something. So I went to the foundation and I said, "Would you write up something that says that journalism people can suggest people, but they have to be approved by the family." And so they did. And so now my sons will have to approve anybody that might be brought.
I think it's great because you still have a little control.
Well, and I know how did I know?
That's right. They'll take and use it for a building.
That's right.
And you have to protect it.
Or polishing tables. Existing. And then, you know, there is a lecture in the fall.
Called the Nofziger Lecture.
Yes.
Yes.
And that we can...
You have to protect that.
Yeah, we protect that. But I thought, I'm an old failure.
No, you're not. But I wouldn't have permitted that on a bet. You did the absolute right thing.
Well, I just...
See, they're beginning to take
right.
wherever they
and,
can.
And they know.
Of course
you know,
they know.
And they shouldn't do it.
Mm-mm.
And then, I like the director they have now, Sharon Dunwoody. I think she's...
She's done a good job?
As far as I know, yes.
Yeah.
And I like her personally, too. And when Ralph and Jim came at different times, I made an appointment so they each could meet her and talk to her because I thought she ought to know them.
Oh, that's good. She should.
She may have something to do with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, she ought to know him because he was an outstanding member of that department, one of the people that make the department great.
He's known all over the world.
Absolutely, all over the world, mm-hmm. all over the world.
And you know, I said to him one time, I said, you know, you never say anything about yourself your entire few months. He says, if I do a good job, people will know it. And he just never talked about himself.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
You're proud of him.
He was happy.
Of course. Very proud of him, you should be.
Well, I was.
Yeah.
He was a good man. A very good man.
That's wonderful. Yeah, so, how long were you married, you two?
We were married in 32 and he died in 73.
72 and 43.
About 47
yeah.
years.
Well, not as
we didn't quite make it.
We're married. We'll be married 58 years in December.
Ew.
58.
Now, isn't that wonderful?
Isn't that wonderful?
You know what I've always sensed between you two? You support each other so well.
He that, certainly is a fine support to me.
That doesn't always happen.
That's right.
We're
but blessed
always
with that.
I thought, there's a couple. They support each other, and they're proud of each other.
That's right. I'm very proud of Lee.
Yes. You can see what kind of man he is, who.
Yeah. 58.
58?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing.
Now, where are your children?
Well, my children, this is not about me, so I'm stuck.
So he's done a lot of work in geology.
Yeah, of course.
And
where is he?
He lives in Albany, Oregon, and when he retired, maybe I told you.
No.
Well, he was a research supervisor with the Bureau of Mines. And then he did away with the Bureau of Mines.
Sure.
And Gingrich is the one I believe.
Yes.
And maybe he wasn't responsible, I don't know. But Ralph could have gone elsewhere, but he said he'd been planning to retire in 2 or 3 years and he just decided to do it again. And he's having a wonderful life, just wonderful.
Isn't that great?
Yes, and Jim, he took the ILS course here. Integrated, when it first started. And he wasn't too sure what he wanted to do, and that was one reason he took it. And then he had this exam at West High School for a placement and so on. I thought, I want to know what his field is. So I called Mr. Barnes, the counselor, and I made an appointment to come over and see him. And I never interfered, but I was curious.
Yeah.
And so I went over and when I went in his office that day, he said, there's no use in your coming in even. You know your son's going into the international field. So I said, well, I wasn't sure. And he said, we are.
Oh, so there you are. That's what matters.
Yes. And there was no course on campus to take care of that. So Jim took various courses himself that dealt with international affairs.
Oh, how interesting.
Made up his own
thing. His own program. He designed his own program.
And then he went to... Where did he go from there? He's moved around so much, I hardly know where he's been.
I know. I never know from one week to the next where they are.
No.
I really don't. Ellen and Jim are in Italy this week.
Oh, yeah.
So who knows where they
are? Well, Jim's just back from India.
Yeah.
But he loves what he's doing.
That's marvelous.
He just loves. And then he got his law degree from Harvard.
And oh, wonderful.
Yes, he did very well there. And an interesting thing there, do you remember when that woman was her husband, what was his name? Oh, he ran for office. And his wife.
A doll?
Yes. She was a member of an international law society at Harvard. And she suggested Jim's name to be a member there. So he was a member when she was there.
Oh, that was great.
And he stayed in her home one time.
I wonder if...
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Wonderful experience.
You know, you and I have really had strange lives, haven't we?
Indeed we have.
Yes.
Very strange.
But I think we...
I loved every minute.
I did too.
Yeah, that's what makes it great.
I did too. I was sorry that I wasn't back when my father died, but I couldn't get back.
Couldn't make it, of course.
It was in Germany.
Where did he die? Here in Madison?
Yes, but my son was here, mm-hmm. and my dad hadn't been ill at all. In fact, I had written to my sister in Oregon and said, invite my dad out there while I'm gone. And so she told me, she said, we did invite him. And he told me, he said, you girls thought you were going to take care of me. I can take care of myself.
Oh, my. What was your maiden name? Tell me again.
Hamilton.
Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Hamilton.
No Wells is here at all.
That's great.
My father came over from around Barneville in that area. And I don't know where.
Lots of early, early Wisconsin people came to
that area.
Yeah.
I remember his telling me he knew Dorothy Fauci's father, who was in the bank there.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know, those Fauci's...
Listen, you and I could go on forever.
Forever. We're going to call it to a close, and I thank you so much for sharing with me.